Officially called to order the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting. It is Tuesday, November 17th at 1:30. Introduction of guests. There are none. Modifications to the agenda.
I do not have any.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment? Recognizing that there is none. Okay. And then we'll move to the approval of the draft meeting minutes for October 16th. I trust that you've had an opportunity to review those and would recognize a motion from the floor.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second. A second.
Thank you. It's been properly motioned and seconded. The approval of the minutes for October 16th. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. Ron, you'll move us into the next item, the tech grant award agreements.
Yes. So the chair requests ratification of her approval of the 2020 Technology Commercialization Grant Program letter of agreement for the winners. Weather Tiger LLC won $15,000 and New Energy won $10,000. The awards are determined according to our purchasing policy for expenditure of funds. So the chair was able to go ahead and sign those so we can get those dispersed. So I just need ratification for approval of those agreements.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So it's been motion and properly seconded the approval and ratification of the 2020 Technology Commercialization Grants. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir. You're recognized.
Before we leave this subject, I'm going to make a statement that I'm sure is going to be very unpopular, but with as deep of a problem as our 2021 budget is, I think before we just absolutely understand we're doing this again in 2021, I think we need to have a review of our finances before we commit to this $25,000 grant next year. I absolutely love the program. I think it's a wonderful program. But we're thinking of a strategic review where we had items A1 and B1, BB in finance, and we've just got to make sure we're going to have the cash flow and the cash to do this. I'm not suggesting we make any decisions today. I'm simply putting it on the table that, in my opinion, this needs to be evaluated and reviewed in lieu of or in line with what finances we have available next year.
And Governor Ramsey, what I'd say is that we certainly appreciate that comment, because in times like these, we want to be mindful and making sure that we're good stewards. And I would think not anything less than if you were practicing your fiduciary role. So thank you for that. Other comments related to that item before we make the transition?
I'll just add, we actually just had this conversation this morning. We do intend to delay the event. We were discussing whether or not to have it in May, as we typically would. But given what we're hearing in terms of a vaccine, even if they have something, it's probably not going to be available to everyone by May. So we were thinking of moving it to October, which is next fiscal, the following fiscal year, beginning of the following fiscal year. But we will have to start planning fairly soon if we're going to do it, because we've discussed incorporating it along with our kind of incorporated into our technology EEP program. So there's some stuff that has to be considered with that, because it wouldn't impact what Naomi and Michael are already working on. So it's not, we don't have a lot of time to delay because of the planning that's going to be required for this.
So what I'd ask then, because I know you and I talked about it with the 101 as well, not related to what Dave just brought up. Let's look at having a conversation and prepare something for the full board, just as a discussion, and go from there in our upcoming meeting.
Okay.
Ron, would you remind me what is budgeted now as a deficit for 2021?
It's off the top of my head, I think it was $300,000, because we put in the deferred maintenance items of a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Thank you.
Point absolutely made on that one. Item number seven, audit engagement letter, Ron.
Again, this is another agreement that the audit chair, David Ramsey, executed, and it simply puts the formal language that the auditors require in writing, but it is consistent with the contract extension that the board previously approved, and it includes language that says that in the event there is a inconsistency between the audit engagement letter and the contract, that the contract prevails. So it's nothing that's inconsistent with the contract, but it just says what our responsibilities are in terms of information we provide and those sorts of things. So the audit committee chair signed it, the audit committee reviewed it and ratified it. And so this is one more step, and then from here we just go on the consent agenda for the board, the executive committee approves.
Madam Chair, as the audit chair, I don't like having to do this, but time is of the essence on this document. I really like to take it through the process of all the way through committee before we sign it, but it was important that we get this thing going and moving, and I request as audit chair that the agreement be ratified.
Okay, so we take that as the motion there. Is there a second in support of ratifying?
So moved.
Okay.
So second.
Yes, I think he was seeking to move it, but yeah. So we have a motion and a second. That's fine.
That's good.
Yeah, there we go. We'll accept it, right? It's been motion and second the approval of the audit engagement letter. All those in favor acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposition? None. Motion carries. Ron, great topic, the incubator project architectural piece, moving that forward.
Yes, so this has been a pretty interesting exercise. We had to meet with the project manager for the EDA to talk before we could really even get started. So that didn't even happen until October, almost a month after the press conference. And then from there, they provided a package of information about how we had to procure the architect. So we have to follow their rules pretty much every step of the way. So I now have all the information in my hands in terms of the code, the federal code that we have to follow. They have some checklists. We've done all of that. So from that, I created the request for qualifications and to procure an architect. And this not only has to follow the federal statute, but also has to follow state statute and our own procedures, policies and procedures, which it even says in the requirements from the EDA is one of the things you have to do is follow your own procedures. So, which is interesting for the EDA to tell you that. So I've done my best with all of these pieces and parts and put it together. The result is this RFQ. And the RFQ follows pretty much in line with the state statute, federal and state's pretty close. In terms of how we have to procure an architect. It's a qualifications-based procurement, which means that we first go out and get the qualifications with no pricing. It is simply, here's what we want. You give us your qualifications. We'll create a short list of at least three, which is required according to the federal code. That we have three. From those three that are shortlisted at the first evaluation committee meeting, we will then a week later have our interviews. And in the interviews, they will present how they propose to execute on the agreement, what's their plan, what's their schedule, and then from there, the evaluation committee will select or rank their top three. So, and then we will proceed from there to negotiation of a contract, which would then be presented back to the executive committee for its approval. So there's a timeline that you should have in your packet. Mm-hmm. And that was basically the time it takes to squeeze all of these steps in. I was fortunate enough to have Mary Jo Spector from FSU, she's from facilities, but works on all the research buildings. She reviewed the materials for me to make sure that it was all made sense from a procurement perspective. I also, since this is the first time we've had to do something of this scope, for basically it's going to be $1.5 million contract, I looked at, and then also to make sure that we comply with the a lot of the procurement requirements that are more formal, I looked at FSU's process and their forms, and did some, I copied a lot of the materials that they use in terms of, you know, what their requirements are, what information gets submitted, how it's evaluated, what the scoring looks like, because these are all requirements of the EDA's process. So a lot of that is incorporated into the RFQ. It's, I think, is as thorough as I could be. And I also took the checklist, some of the checklist information that the EDA says, because they have about a 5-page checklist that you have to check off and sign off after you have the architect's agreement, before it's executed for their review. And so I made sure every one of the line items was addressed in the RFQ, because most of it has to be in the contract. So we have a section in the RFQ that says, here's all the language that's at minimum going to be in the contract. So it says they're not going to be surprised. It also helps them to understand the scope of the work, because it says you're going to have to do these things. So they're not going to be surprised. So my feeling was, the more of that we put in the RFQ, the less discussion there is when you get into negotiation of the agreement. So typically I would put a draft agreement in an RFP, but given this situation, I thought it was more important to stay a little bit flexible when we get around to that. But so that's what's in there. You've seen the schedule. I think it's about as straightforward as it can be.
Well, I want to thank you, because there's been you have spent every waking hour on this document. And I thank you for engaging folks like Mary Jo and others just in the short timeline that we have, because we need to get it out the door. So I want to thank you for that. Once we make a decision on this, I have already identified folks that will make up a review committee, if you will, and that's one of the great things that I get a chance.
Madam Chair, I have a quick question. Sure. So, before the RFQ,
sure. The
scope of the building, mm-hmm. or what actually we're looking for, how that will be finalized?
So that's part of the planning process. So because that is going to be a very time-consuming part. Once we get this issued, we're going to use all the time in between all of these steps to start doing the planning for the scope of work.
Okay.
So the scope that you see now in the RFQ document is basically cut and paste from the EDA agreement. The EDA agreement says your scope must be this. You can't build anything different than this. Fortunately, it's fairly general. But what goes into that square footage, we're going to spend a lot of time planning. So the intent is to solicit input from a lot of folks, including Mary Jo. Michael and I were discussing more this morning about other people who are subject matter experts who, in particular areas, you know, might be prototype development. Folks who can help us figure out exactly what we need to have in the building to accomplish our goals. So that process, we'll start as quickly as we can. And so that by the time we have the procurement done at the board meeting in February, the 4th, I believe, we'll have as much stuff together so that the architect doesn't have to wait on us, okay? And so, I mean, the architect's gotta have some input on it, but we wanna make sure we know exactly what we want. You know, or at least, you know, 80%, so that we're not wasting a lot of time after we have procured the architect to get to it. Does that make sense?
Yes. The reason I asked this question for lesson learned for our project, mm-hmm. even in Tallahassee, just to change a power line for the desk, it's very expensive. We have to change the floor plan. It ended up costing us $50,000. It's extremely expensive for the power lines and the network lines and stuff like that, if you want to cut the concrete to move it.
Yeah, and so this is, and I don't know what process you follow,
sure.
But this is has to be done as a design bid build, and they are looking for most of the permitting to be done before they break ground, and I think that's one of the big drivers is they want more stuff nailed down before you break ground, basically. So they're not going to allow for it.
Sure.
And that's, I think, where you get into trouble sometimes. Yeah. It's faster sometimes to do it, but if you make a mistake, it's costly.
So, Madam Chair, can you tell us a little bit more about the process of selecting the committee?
Yes, looked at individuals that, well, I'll share with you all the names that I'm proposing on this. It would be Mary Jo with FSU, Kristen Dozier, Dave, prior experience here, Tom Allen, Bank and Finance, has served on this board for a number of years and now is returned, and then OEB, a representative there to ensure that we have the key stakeholders and certainly the board members that have been involved with this process over time in the planning of it.
So we, one thing, you and I talked about this briefly, and I've reached out to those people since, and Dave, for example, will not be available during that time.
Oh, he won't? Okay.
Tom Allen has said yes. Kristen is, we got to figure out the time of day for the mm-hmm. two meetings on the evaluation committee, because she has an IE meeting later in the afternoon. So if we can work out the timing, it's just, like I said, even the first meeting is the day after the RFQs are due, the responses are due. So there's no time to really evaluate before the meeting. We're going to do it in the meeting. So
inside of that group, who has the greatest technical skill set in terms of, to Sanjoy's point, understanding the way we live in this building requires a kind of a comprehensive understanding of what the building is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we ought to have a strong influence on that board. And I don't know exactly who that is. In addition to the people that you've mentioned, mm-hmm. is there a staff presence on that?
Well, staff will be involved, but in terms of the voting one for the committee, but yeah, staff will be there to provide the insight, to answer the questions, to talk about the direction that they're going. This is what we'd envision. Yeah, to make sure that that's clear.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as you know, with Sunshine, it gets complicated if you start putting staff on committees,
which is why I kept them. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Absolutely, we will be involved. I will be involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know these are great questions, and I'm glad, Sanjoy, that you brought that up about what you all had experienced. Kevin, what are you thinking?
So just to answer the question, mm-hmm. of the people that have been identified for the committee, what is there somebody on the committee at the decision level that has a strong technical understanding of how the building is supposed to live?
The probably the most technically knowledgeable one is Mary Jo Spector, particularly in terms of the lab aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, Michael and I, that's what we discussed this morning, is I don't think we're going to find one person in town who knows all of it. But we do know that there are certain people that we're considering as additional recommendations who are, for example, know about prototype development. So if we can get somebody like that on board, they're gonna be able to provide some insight. So yes, we're thinking about those things, and as soon as we identify other prospects, we'll get that to Kim. We've got a little bit of time on the evaluation committee, but this is the evaluation committee. It is simply for procuring the architect. And I think we need to be flexible in terms of how we need one group of people who drive the whole development process. I think we bring in people as we need them for different aspects of it. Yes, there'll be some continuity mm-hmm. throughout, but I think the more you can stay a little flexible on that, the better.
I agree with what you stated. Not for selecting the architect, but for the go forward.
Correct.
I think it's going to be important that there be and I don't know what the construct would be, but a group of advisors that have a strong skill set in the various disciplines, because we really do have one opportunity to get this building right. So we have
folks like Kristen who understand growth management and the navigation of permitting and all of that, and has the connections to the folks who can help us make that happen timely. So we've already had that conversation. Even to, you know, setting up meetings before, you know, as we're going through the process, so that they'll tell us everything we need to make sure we're doing, and we have that dialogue going, so there are no surprises.
And to your point, Kevin, what I will take on as a charge and have after having this dialogue is to make sure that Ron and I are talking more too about those folks that we'll want to target. And we'll lean on you all too, that if they're within your scope or sphere, that we'll want your assistance in helping us to reach out. But I agree. I don't think it's one group that does it. I think there are multiple subject matter experts. We just need to identify them and make sure that they're at the table. Dave, was there anything that you wanted to say, sir? I saw it in your face.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the question. But Ron, we took the board on a field trip last year or the year before, and I think we were in Alachua. The gentleman down there that ran the lab offered on several occasions to be of whatever assistance we need. I don't know how you'd feel inviting him in. Maybe you consider him as a competitor, but he certainly has all skill sets, having built a lab of his own, knowing what works and what doesn't work and why he would do this different and so on. But is he a candidate in your mind for any of this?
Well, it's Mark Long. And yes, I think he could be helpful, incredibly helpful. And I don't think we see him necessarily as a competitor. He would, Michael can back me up on this, he would like for us to have the capability to keep some of our own stuff here, so that he's got limited capacity there, and he has more demand than he has supply. So he's also an FSU grad. So he also did our feasibility study for us, so he definitely has a vested interest in seeing us succeed.
Okay, well, we will certainly take that name and any of the other names as we determine the subject matter expertise that we need. But for the sake of the architectural review and the art, we would need a motion on being able to move that if we're going to get to the February date. Yeah.
And the board chair does, according to our bylaws, the board chair appoints committees. So we just, if you have recommendations, obviously, but at the end of the day, that's her privilege.
That I will absolutely take them under advisement from you guys. So we have before us again the RFQ for review and consideration. We've had dialogue. Is there a motion?
The motion would be to accept this document as the document to move forward with.
Right.
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
That's second, okay. Madam Chair. It's a very, very thorough document. I compliment Ron on his production of it.
Thanks, sir.
I think we echo that. So it's been properly motioned and second the approval of RFQ 2020-01 for procurement of the architectural services. All those in favor acknowledge the sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. We got our first check mark for that gets it to the full board on our journey. The next item is just the lease prospect and permitted uses discussion. So this is a good conversation too. And Ron, is this one that you want to open?
Sure, I can do that. So, Dave mentioned strategic plan items 1A and 1B, and 1B being the revenue side, and how are we going to generate more revenue? And obviously we get a lot from leasing, and we still have capacity to lease a lot. So one of the things that I've run into over the past 8 years is having a clear understanding of an agreement from the board on the kinds of prospects that we pursue. Because we are required, according to our lease with the state as well, and the covenants and restrictions for the park, often mimic it in many ways, but it limits us as to what we can put in the park. And I reproduced that information for you in the item. And so when we run into other opportunities, I'm just trying to get direction on how are we trying to stick to the core mission tightly, or do we take each one and try to do our best to make it fit? Because the board, at the end of the day, it's subject to board approval and the board's latitude on what goes in here. So, for example, we get occasional call centers. Call centers take up a lot of space. It could be great revenue, pretty quick, very little infrastructure, but does absolutely nothing for the park. Dave had a situation that with the FSU Medical School, apparently has some space over by Capital Regional Medical for their, I believe, their interns. And
yeah, Ron, you want me to explain that one a little bit?
Well, I don't know we need to go in depth, but if you want to, sure.
Well, first of all, just to talk about how Florida State runs this College of Medicine is unique to most anything else in the nation. Year one and two students are at the big campus. Year three and four students are then divided out and go to six regional medical schools in Florida. They have about 12% of the students. And then they go and work, instead of at big regional training hospitals, they work at doctor's offices and clinics, and they're trying to train these doctors, influence them to become doctors in rural communities. They have space now, as Ron said, over near Capital Regional Medical Center, but they're going to give that lease up at the end of 2021 and have begun the process for looking for space. I don't know that they'd be a good candidate. Ron and I have talked a little bit about it. They're looking for 6,000 square feet. They need, of that 6,000 in it, 1,200 square feet for a large conference room. And they will, in this time, bring very few people other than some staff to the facility each day. They will have the students come in at various times, but they won't be on campus at this particular location anyhow on a continuing basis. They'll come in for one-on-one interviews and a few group meetings, but mostly it'd be staff. Now, the point I bring up is one of the things that we are responsible for, not only is research, but development, is developing these individuals to be rural medical doctors, fit into our expectation for tenants. And that's the question Ron and I kind of kicked around. Now, having said that, I don't think we're a very serious candidate for them looking right now. They are trying to negotiate room space and so on with Tallahassee Community Hospital, Tallahassee Memorial Hospital, and hope that they will find space that they could lease there and make it more convenient for their doctors to move around the community from that location. So I don't know that they're a strong prospect. With the 1A, 1B thing, anytime I see a possibility for revenue, I'm going to bring it up. And having brought that up, I guess Ron is saying, well, do they really fit? And I don't know if they fit. I don't know how far we say training medical doctors, developing them for rural communities is part of what would be acceptable. So Ron brings this up. Give him direction. Give him some direction from us, I'm guessing I'm saying, so that he will know whether to pursue things like this or not. Maybe we look at each one individually. Madam Chair, that's my comments.
I know, I appreciate your comments on that. I know when Ron and I talked about it, and again, one of the challenges that you find yourselves in when we're looking to generate revenue, potentially everything looks like an opportunity, and it's not always the smart thing that we need to do. From my individual perspective, I would honor Ron being able to look at each situation and then bring it to us with a recommendation, having vetted it through the rationale or justification or parameters that he believes exist as they are right now, and then having the board be engaged. I don't know how prescriptive we want to be with stepping into Ron's role as executive director to be able to vet those opportunities. What thoughts do you all have on that?
So, Madam Chair, that's one thing that very near and dear to me is sustainability. I know our mission vision is very clear, excuse me, but at the same time, we need to continue the sustainability portion of it. I personally believe that we should allow Ron to personally bid and case-by-case basis and present it to the board. So then we can evaluate is how far that we want to take that. But that'll be my stand, I think.
Well, the question is, the easy part for me is the yes.
Yes.
The hard part is when I'm presenting with something that's a no, that I think is a no.
Yeah.
Do I need confirmation to not go after something? Does the board have to approve for me not to pursue a lead if in my opinion, it is not, does not fit the mission of the park.
So, Madam Chair.
You're recognized.
The language gives the authority a wide open path. I mean, when you read the language, it says the authority may, in its sole judgment, determine to be an integral part of, related to, or derivative of aforesaid uses. It's hard. It would be really hard to not be able to fit inside of the broad language. So I agree that everything at this point, because we don't have a more specific set of rules, mm-hmm. that we need to be able to rely on staff to bring recommendation forward on a case by case. To reinforce the point, Ron, that you were just making, we need to make sure that there is a method to our process so that at some point in the future, it is not considered to be, and I'm a dirt guy, not an attorney, but this is that it's not arbitrary and capricious. There needs to be some standard. And I feel like while the language of our bylaws, this was taken out of bylaws, right?
It's actually out of the covenants and restrictions for the park.
Okay. So we just need to be mindful of what our process is, because to your point, the yes is easy, the no gets contentious. Where we are and understanding the strategic planning, and Dave, to your earlier point about our financial projections, we need to make sure that we stay cash positive. So there's a priority there. Now, long term, when we get to a point where we are very healthy in terms of our operations, there may be a time when we more narrowly define certain parameters. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think it's incumbent on you as the executive director to bring the recommendations forward with a strong mind towards how this will fit into the mission and its critical nature of as to where we are today.
Great point, that our focus be much to what Sanjoy has already mentioned on sustainability, realizing that because of the broad nature, that some of what we might agree to now on the short run would be different if we were in a different cast position going forward. Ron, so it sounds like we need to work towards development of what kind of lens you will view so that we'll understand that, the method, the thought process, and agree to that, and then apply it as opportunity presents.
That's a great idea. And I think what might be helpful is to prepare a list, a mm-hmm. checklist of mm-hmm. you know, with certain categories of types of businesses that we might be interested in or not interested in. Because, for example, in the past we have completely avoided any sort of classroom space. So if the university said, hey, we want to put a classroom in over here, we've said no. And I think the closest we ever got was there was some temporary use of the AME facility, but it was granted on a very short term temporary basis. But other than that,
to that point, was anthropology all about research?
Yes, I mean that was really some of the same sort of arguments in terms of the need for the finances, but it also fit with. I had a very close fit with the other tenant in the building mm-hmm. with SEAC. So, and they had actually been in co-located at another time, I guess, on campus.
Okay.
So that one, yes, that was a little, I mean, that is probably a stretch, but it does have research involved. But, you know, you take a look at IT services. I mean, even though it wasn't our facility, technically, you know, there's no research going on there, but it could fall, and you're right, you're absolutely right, Kevin, this definition is very broad. But, you know, in their situation, is that considered administrative support services? So it is for the university, but, you know, and it is probably for a number of the tenants here. But it's stuff like that. It's not all black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I were to put a list of at least some categories of things together that the board could say yes or no to, it helps to avoid the arbitrary and capricious argument that you made. That can come back to haunt you later too, because we get into discrimination claims because we allowed this, but we didn't allow that. I mean, I get real estate brokers, or, you know, just because it's close to their house, and, you know, how much of that do I do?
You know? Right. I think, again, I think Kevin made a great point. Actually, everybody made a great point, though, Kevin, in terms of the action item of how we go forward based on the language that we have, and then we will bring that back to the board.
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, no, you're good. And then we'll make the transition to the FDOT BIPS lease extension.
Well, Madam Chair, let me just, before we leave that, should we be giving Ron the direction that says it's okay to talk to the College of Medicine, or just drop that one and let's forget it?
I don't think we're dropping any of them. We're just laying out for the board's consideration what our method, what our thought process, so that we will know what Ron is using going forward as he's screening opportunities. I think it stays on the table. We're just asking for clarity around the method for going forward and how he does it or what he intends to use. So it's not gone away. It's out there.
Dave, are you suggesting that there still might be a possibility with them that I should pursue?
Ron, I would think that it is a long shot. I don't think it would hurt to make a, inquiry of them as to whether they would be interested in developing any further dialogue with us or not. I know that we would not be their first choice. If Tallahassee Memorial Hospital makes space available to them, that's them. They're going. But I don't know how crowded TMH is and whether that would work. I know that we have many other FSU contracts in the in the park. So other than just simply asking if we could provide them with any information, that'd be as far as I'd take it right now. But
okay. Well,
right. If you want to provide me with the contact information, Dave, I'll follow up.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave, and thanks everybody for the hearty conversation on that. Ron, if you'll take us to the BIPS lease extension.
Yes. So I had a meeting with the Florida Department of Transportation, their leasing person, the director over the facility, and another lower level staff person, and we discussed the lease. As you may recall, we discussed this during budgeting. They have a lease that runs out at the end of September of 2022. You're familiar with the FIPS building down here, the one with the big pendulum in the backyard. So when that lease runs out, it has a 5-year extension at their option that reduces the lease down to $2 a square foot. Okay. That reduces our lease revenue by $100,000 a year. Okay. Now there are some offsets in terms of expenses, and I can share. Let me share the screen with you. Here. All right. Where's the mouse here? There it is. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Where's that at? I want to jump into that. Yeah.
I downloaded that online.
Oh, okay.
That's in England.
Oh, beautiful.
Sorry about that. I really should use my mouse on this, but. I hate these touch screens. Oh, here we go. Down there somewhere. So can those online see that okay?
I cannot see it.
You guys can't see the screen share? No?
Dave, what do you see?
I see about a quarter inch strip that's vertical and nothing else, but it looks like the very last quarter inch of the page.
Try this one more time. If this doesn't work, I'll just describe for you.
Now you're doing
it. How about now, Dave?
Yeah, very good.
Okay. All right. So you can see here, I've got the what the current lease looks like in terms of annual revenue, what the extension looks like in terms of revenue, and then what the lease also provides for in the extension period is that they pick up the maintenance costs, and they also pay common area maintenance. So if we estimate the average maintenance cost over the last 5 years, it's about $24,000 a year. So our revenue would change by almost $100,000. But we have $24,000 less in maintenance costs. We'd have $4,000 in revenue from the CAM. So the net change is about $71,000 a year for 5 years, or $356,000 over that 5 year period. What I have proposed to them, and I made it very clear that this is all subject to approval of our board, is that we spread the pain out, okay? That we go ahead and do a 15-year extension at instead of the 5-year renewal or the 5-year extension, and we take what would have cost us $356,000 and spread that as a discount over the next 15 years, okay? And they would, instead of paying $2 a foot, they would pay what they're currently paying, that $877 a foot, okay? Now that $877 sounds like a pretty low per square footage cost, except they don't have all office space, okay? They've got a lot of shop space. And when you look at the averages, it's probably pretty close to where it ought to be. And then also, they pay for their own lawnscaping, their own janitorial services. Basically, we've got the shell and the HVAC, and lighting, pretty much that's what we're paying. So our and that $24,000 includes what we pay Talcor to help us manage that. That's the allocation of their cost in there, which is a good chunk of it. That's probably about $10,000 a year. So so basically what it would come down to is about a $7.15 rate over the next 15, so it would be $104,000 a year in rent instead of what it would go down to, which is $29,000 a year. So we pick up, you know, whatever that is. So it spreads the pain. Now, the upside for them and the downside for us is that it puts us back on the hook for the maintenance for 5 years, okay? I think their big concern was the roof. You know, if that is, you know, obviously if the roof goes, they got a problem. Stephanie assures me the roof is in good shape. We do monthly visits up there with the maintenance company. Just their metal, it's a metal roof. We maintain it. We fix anything that, you know, you can't defer maintenance on a roof. So, because tenants will know. Anyway, at first they were very hesitant. I think they're seeing this as a windfall. There's also another component to this that is a little complicated. If this was a straight up market deal, this would be a little easier to negotiate. The challenge here is this is the state of Florida. Our land is leased from the state of Florida. Okay. Now, granted, there are two different pockets, but it's still the state of Florida. and they know it. And they have said that, okay? They also look at this from the standpoint of there was a building expansion that was done back in 2007 for about $500,000. And they said that the rent was increased to cover that expansion. I am told, and I don't have the records to verify this. I haven't dug far enough to find the records, but they said they were paying $2 a foot before. Okay, so the challenge I had was explaining that, you know, if that's the case, what's our benefit of ownership? Because that's clearly not a market rate at $2 a foot. So whether you know, just because you pay rent on your apartment doesn't mean you own it when you're done. So, and I think they're starting to understand that. So what I had asked them to do was to go back, talk to their superiors and see if this is a concept that's workable. Okay. And I said I would do the same thing with you all and see if this is a workable concept.
What dollars were used to build the Phipps building?
Well, again, I believe it was a leaseback bond, like everything else that was built. I mean, that's the way they described it. It might have been private placement, but it was a lease revenue bond. There's one other kicker on this too, is they're discussing an expansion. They want to add another, I believe, 4,000 or 5,000 square feet. And they're going to want us to front the funding for it. So to do another type of deal that would add the space, and they would pay it back through the rents. But they're saying that they can't do it right now, given the state of the state's finances. But that's something that's hanging in the balance there as well. One thing to keep in mind is that they also have space in Gainesville. When I had a previous discussion with the director, he mentioned that is always a possibility that they could get moved. If it becomes prohibitive to be here, that they could move to Gainesville. Now, he admitted that would be expensive for them to do, and that would certainly be a consideration, but particularly with the unique assets that they have here. But that kind of factors into the mix. Sorry if I got off track there, but I wanted to make sure you understand the context here.
And Ron, the lease is expected to expire what, next year?
September 2022, yes. It's a year.
So if we expand this lease to 15 years, what are the opportunity costs that we're leaving on the table if we find another tenant?
Well, I think it goes back to our previous argument, you know, as far as sustainability. Here's a plan right now. If we can do it for this now, you're right. If it's at $2 a foot, that was the point that I made. At $2 a foot, at $29,000 a year.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Why would I want to do that?
Right.
Now, we have to, but I assured them that at the end of that 5 years, we're not going to be renewing that $2 a foot. Regardless of past experience, but and then they run the risk that they lose the facility because we're not going to be quite as negotiable, and it's not going to be $8 a foot probably at that point.
Yeah.
So this just gives them a new building to sort of lock in. It locks them in for 15 years, which is good for us. In terms of opportunity cost, I think the biggest opportunity cost is the inability to develop the rest of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The building itself is, 1987 vintage.
Mm-hmm.
It's built for their use. It does have a big overhead bay. I don't know how much you've seen it.
Yeah, I'm not.
When you drive by there to your building, look over and you see the overhead door up. You can see the back. You see all the way through it. It might have value to a manufacturer. It's probably pretty well set up or something like that. But not sure what else. It's got offices in the front, the big bay in the back, and then ground that we could develop for other uses, I believe.
And Ron, they're expected to circle back around with you when?
I'm meeting with them on Friday.
Okay, this Friday. Okay.
This Friday, yeah.
Can you show us how you derive the discount per square foot, the $1.62?
I just divided the $356,000 by the 15 years, by the footage. E16, so the per year, if you take this divided by 15, you get $23,000 per year divided by the square footage.
So proposal is instead of 8.77, they will put 7.15 for 15 years.
Yes. So in this situation, they don't lose anything that they'd already negotiated. We get a lock in at 877, and we have a tenant for 15 years.
Have you had conversation with them? Are they, do you think they're amenable to this?
I have had a conversation with them, and that's what I asked them to do, because they're not decision makers.
All right.
So I asked them to go back to the decision makers and find out. I think they're significant influencers of the decision, the director of the facility and the head lease person. I think I had to get the lease person to kind of open up the mind about doing it differently than what they thought they had. So, and I'm not sure, it could still change. I'm just wanting to know if you all are amenable to this or have any other suggestions.
Ron, if you could, are y'all still looking at that on the pulse check for the Dave? Any thoughts from you, sir?
I'll tell you, it stinks, but it doesn't stink nearly as bad as $2 a square foot for 5 years, I think.
Correct. I think we're all kind of marinating on that same thought. We certainly don't want $2 and 15-year commitment.
And but, not like we have a lot of tenant knocking
right.
on the door at
this point. Right, it goes back to that. Kevin, what do you think of that? I see your wheels turning over there.
They are, and I don't have a great response to your question. Mm-hmm. Ron, I'm assuming that you've fully vetted the position that the state has with their extension at $2 a foot. That's an absolute. There's no
yes,
and certainly the state has. Greater authority in that conversation.
And the thing that's always hanging over our head is, even with the 15-year extension, is they have the ability to terminate the lease if they have space in another facility or if there's nothing budgeted.
So,
which basically gives them an automatic out anytime they want to do anything because they just don't budget for it.
Correct.
So part of that's feeding part of my thought process, which is, if I'm the state and I have an opportunity to engage for 5 years at $2 a foot, even though this revised deal is better for us, but today's point, it still stinks. Why would they even consider it if they have the ability to lock in the next 5 years at $2 a foot? I'm not understanding why they're going to agree to this deal. Even though I don't like our deal,
right?
I don't understand why they like this as much as they like $2 a foot. That's all.
Because they still save, they still get $2 a foot.
Yes.
They still get it. It's just
a little bit, yeah. It's,
yes, there's some time value of money involved here, okay? But they get it. They realize that savings over 15 years. And what they get in addition to that is they lock in a 15-year term, so they don't run the risk that we decide that we.
I understand that.
They forego the risk that we're going to go more than 877 after the 5-year period, and they don't have the maintenance cost risk that they will have for that 5-year period.
And I'm picking up what you're laying down. To your question, Madam Chair, I don't have a good answer. this is a tough one.
Yeah, it really is, because regardless of what we end up coming up with here at the table, and I think it sounds like we all understand that $2, I mean, $8 is better than $2, but it will depend on the conversation that you have on Friday, because they literally are in their control.
I have a question.
Sure.
Sure. So you mentioned that they have a chance to terminate the lease at any point. Do we have the same opportunity?
No.
That's really the benefit that the state and state agencies have.
So you saw what happened at the shopping mall when they had the VAT issue. That's exactly what they did there. They said, even though the lease doesn't allow us to get out because of bats, okay, the state said, we're just not going to budget for it. And because there's no budget, we can terminate the lease.
I mean, it's great leverage. When I ran an organization here, and we had the funding primarily from them. I put it in all of our leases, and it leveraged every time they would think about going up. I'm like, no, we have the ability.
This building used to be entirely occupied by the state, okay? Now, they didn't do the budget trick. They did the other trick, which is we have space in other buildings, which is another clause.
Yeah.
And FSU has the same leverage. And if they have space in other buildings, then they can terminate the lease and move everyone to their own buildings. So the term really helps them more than it helps us. But, as long as the big thing is, the uniqueness of that space makes it harder for them to go somewhere else. They want it, they're motivated. There's a cost to moving. The same thing happened here with the kitchen in this building. Everything else left, but that didn't, because they couldn't duplicate that somewhere else without expending funds. Now, at some point, and maybe it's the next, and they had just renovated it. So the next renovation, that may be when they decide, and it may be something similar down there, but it's about spreading the pain is really what I'm trying to do here, and trying to lock in that 877, get that negotiation out of the way, and we can move on to other things. Right now, because we have enough other land, I just don't see that as an immediate opportunity, and this is a more near-term opportunity, I think.
So what I think you're not hearing from the board is a no, don't move forward. It is get to Friday, and it sounds like, again, we get it. It's not a great deal, but $877, if they're coming back with that versus the $2, then you still would have the opportunity to come back before this board, because it would still be approved. So it's not the only time you're ever going to hear.
I just want to know if this makes sense. So that,
well, what you
when it does get to the board, the board just looks at me like I'm crazy.
No.
I want to know that I'm not crazy, because this is at least a reasonable approach.
We'll all look at, yes, it stinks, and we will all have that same glazed look that we have now on that one. But yeah, I think for Friday, the best that we can do is figure out where they're going on it and realize.
Yeah, they may just say no
they
way.
They may
we'll
say no.
Take years and,
so part of that is,
and Kevin, if you we're meeting.
I want to brainstorm on this a little bit.
We can.
Yeah. Because it doesn't require. He's not hearing a no from us. Like, hey, don't even go down that path. It is bringing us up to speed. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll come before us as an action item. You'll have information sooner on Friday, and I'll be interested in kind of where they land as well with their proposal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this does not require a vote. This is intended to be an upgrade.
We needed to do and make us ponder. So, sleep on it tonight and tell us tomorrow.
Tell me.
Tell him tomorrow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ron, for your diligence in laying that out for us to make sure that we understood your thought process with that one. I'm not going to belabor it, because then you hear the same thing from my report when we come to the full board meeting. So I'm going to skip my piece. Staff report.
I think you've heard enough from me.
Yeah. We heard Ron, Michael, and Naomi, abbreviated versions of what you'd like to share.
Michael.
Yeah, I guess I can start. During the COVID, we've gotten quite a few applications, as noted in previous reports, for virtual memberships. We now have 6 virtual members, and I'm evaluating another application that came in yesterday. We did a really nice tech topics today featuring 3 of our virtual members. I think that was well received, and they did an excellent job. At least two of the technologies are really outstanding. I'm very happy about that. Also looking at a number of customer relationship management software packages been evaluating four of them. Two I'm very familiar with, which is HubSpot and Salesforce. The third I'm have a cursory knowledge of, which is Nutshell. But a new one I discovered, which is called Monday.com, looks very promising. It also happens to have the most functionality at the lowest cost per month to the user. So I'm looking at those CRM software packages. And other than that, still plugging away, trying to find financing for a couple of the companies. And I've been matching some angel and even venture capital pitches with the companies. So looking for big money. One's looking for $2.5 million for a seed round, and the other's looking for about $800,000 for a seed round. And I have a lead on one now that at $100,000 that looks very promising. And I just spoke with them prior to this meeting. And although they were the ones looking for $800,000 to $1 million, the $100,000 that I talked to them about will get one of their products to market quickly. So that looks like a good option for them. So a lot of things going on, a lot of assistance, and continuing to plug away.
Michael, I've seen your traction with the virtual members. That's great there. And then just for the members, if you, with the CRM that Michael is referring to, that is in planning for our incubator. So going down that path and looking at upfront what tools we would want to consider. Questions? Okay, Naomi.
All right, just sorry for cutting out there for a little bit. My internet crashed a few minutes ago, so that's why I left. Just a quick little update from me. As Michael said, we had our tech topics earlier today, this morning, and we had Blue Quench, Persica, and EduClear. They all did a great job. We had about 25 attendees, and everyone seemed to enjoy it, and it went very well. And then...
and Naomi, we had... Channel, was it 27, was on it as well?
Yeah, there was a journal, a reporter from WTXL, ABC 27, who jumped on and was at the event, and she, I believe, was recording some of it, and she asked a few questions at the end also. So have her be involved and join in.
We haven't had a chance to talk after the meeting. We were running into this, but I just wanted to make sure you follow up with her quickly after this meeting, because was she calling us a club? I heard, did she use the word club a couple of times?
I didn't catch that.
I swore I heard her say we're a club, because we keep talking about members and all of that. But.
I think what you said, Ron, was an innovation hub.
You said hub?
I swore. She did say innovation hub a few times.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But either way, I will follow up with her.
I think a follow up piece, and because we also didn't mention North Florida Innovation Lab, so just a little PR follow up with her. You know, give her some feel if she needs to tighten up her report or something, and then you give her a fact sheet or something.
That's great.
Yeah, we'll do. And then so that was tech topics, and then another big update was Tech Grant, which we mentioned already. But that event was about a month ago now. It was, as you all know, the first time we did it virtual. It was a success. It went very well. Throughout the event, we had between 90 and 110 people logged on at all times. And I did really well. I had a lot of fun working on it. I think it was a really successful event. And I've heard from a few people that, they thought it went well. And Michael and Ron and Peggy have told me the same, that they've heard from others that people enjoyed it. And I think even though it was virtual, we were able to engage with everybody and have, a cohesive event virtually. So as you all know, the $15,000 winner was Weather Tiger and $10,000 winner was New Energy. And as Ron mentioned, we talked this morning in our staff meeting about the 2021 and pushing that back to October, and the idea of going virtual for that again. So I'm going to start mapping that out and talk to Michael, because we're integrating the TEEP with Tech Grant. So I'm going to start working on that in the next few weeks and trying to map out our plan for next year. Besides those updates, updates. I'm just plugging away on, you know, day-to-day social media and day-to-day things. We'll have a more robust report for our meeting, our board meeting in a few weeks.
Thank you for that report. And again, it was a great event. I appreciate the mightiness of our small team making it happen for that first virtual event. It was very seamless, smooth. And Naomi, we probably just want to, and I know we took it down earlier about the comments about possibly looking at the tech, the grant, and maybe the postponement, because we realize you all are moving, and we'd have to give you some direction on that fairly soon so that you don't expend energy unnecessarily. So, but thank you for the great reports. Comments, questions? Okay. New business? Hearing none. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, probably motion second. We are officially adjourned.